How does that square with taking delight in the natural world?
Oh, you have to look on the world as awful and it's dismal. Well, the thing is, you have sort of look at it, you're looking at it with balance, looking, because you can still be dispassionate and disenchanted with the world without, but still appreciate its beauty. Like, it's really interesting that the most dour, hardcore ascetic in the history of the Sangha at the time of the Buddha was Mahakasapa. And the most gushy verses in the Theragata, particularly about nature and looking at the world around him with kind of awe and wonder, come from Mahakasapa. It's actually quite striking, quite beautiful. Usually when we, and certainly say like the, oftentimes like the, you know, romantic poetry, looking at the nature around, there's definitely a kind of a clinging there, whereas for to looking at it through the lens of a Buddhist practice, you're seeing the whole thing. You can be delighted in the world around you, but you're not infatuated with it.
Speaking of poetry, so William Blake put it very, beautifully and accurately, I would say, in I think it's in his Songs of Innocence and Experience, Joy. He says that he that binds himself to a joy doth the winged life destroy. He that kisseth a joy as it flies lives within it and lives in eternity's sunrise. So binding yourself to a joy doth the winged life destroy. So trying to keep that precious thing, that beautiful thing, then that's that urge to keep, to own, to have, to to relish, then that sours that. But the kissing the joy as it flies is what Mahakasapa was doing. That there's that the mind is imbued with the attitude of non-grasping, non-identification. So it's a mysterious thing that the more completely the heart lets go of the world, the more it can really enjoy it.
Yeah, like some of the people that I've met who just, you know, really enjoy life, and Ajahn Chah kind of was the greatest example. I mean, tremendous joy, but no illusions about the world around him.
So that's a bit like if somebody is very attached to ecology, but they have a real dread of towns and cities.
Exactly, or that people who are dedicated to peacefulness and eco-friendliness, viciously critical and filled with hatred for people who are worldly and indulgent. And just I don't know how many times over the years is that it's very ironic and painful. But someone so dedicated to things that are wholesome and noble and good, but their very grasping of it makes them filled with criticism and anger and aversion, and they find themselves alienated and exhausted. So it's a painful irony that things work in that way. And that I would echo what Lumpur Pasanna was saying, that some people who have really enjoy life because of basically the non-attachment, and that it's not the the kind of relishing of sensory experience that is the kind of an automatic affirmation. There can be that the heart's just natural rejoicing without kind of getting drawn in and getting carried away with sensory experience. And so it's something that the Buddha was extraordinarily rigorous in his expression, and just like you're talking about Lumpur Cha, you know, he seemed like the happiest man in the world, and you know, he was receiving visitors 15 hours a day, 18 hours a day, lived on, you know, one meal a day, slept on a grass mat, no sex, no drugs, no rock and roll, was proud of the fact that Wat Pa Pong had the worst food in the world. And he was the happiest person you'd ever met. That was one of the things that really got my attention when I showed up as a sort of hippie off the beach, was like, how come this guy's so happy? Yeah, there's like, this is a really austere living situation, but he's the happiest man in the world. How does this work?